Yesterday or last Sunday, I kind of taught on lessons on laughter. We had LOL. And as I left here, somebody says, "Well, you didn't say anything about Jesus." So, well, I got part two. except I'll title this one "Humor in Scripture." I mean, you ever read your Bible? And the more I start reading this, I'm putting this together. Man, there's a lot of funny passages in Scripture. I mean, there's a lot of serious passages in Scripture, but there's also quite a bit of, I mean, God's got a sense of humor. And He lets that, I mean, Jesus has a sense of humor. I find that in Scripture. Some people have different senses of humor. We have laughed when our kids have crashed on motorcycles before, you know, when they weren't looking, and my one son rode straight up a tree and then fell backwards, and we thought that was funny. You know what I mean? Some people don't find that funny. You know, but everybody's got a different sense of humor, so if you don't find these funny, I'm sorry. But guaranteed, if you read your Bible, there's been a time in Scripture where you said, "Man, that's kind of funny." So why don't you turn with me over to John chapter number 2. And most all these passages are very familiar. Like I said, I encourage you just to read your Bible. You know, I don't like reading my Bible just to get through my Bible. I like to, and maybe sometimes when I'm reading my Bible, I falsely imagine what's going on. You know, that I'll fully admit that, okay? 100%. Like, you read too far in the Scripture there, Mike. That doesn't say that, you know. But sometimes in this case, I mean, this is Jesus' first miracle. I also believe this to be one of the funniest. John chapter 2. And John records this. And John is the only one who records this miracle. And in John chapter 2, in verse number 1, it says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Now I've heard preachers, say this is how he talked to his mom. "Woman, my hour is not yet come." I'm like, you're an idiot. If you think the Lord talked to his mom that way, you're an idiot. Can I say that? I already did. Sorry. But there's no way that the Lord addressed his mom like that. Especially when you go into verse number 1, and the mother of Jesus was there. I mean, that's pretty... God included his mom was there. First verse. And not only she asked him, "Woman, what?" He asked him, "They have no wine." She didn't even ask him to make it. She said, "They ain't got any wine." And I like this, verse number 5. "And his mother saith unto the servants," she looks over at the servants. These aren't the disciples, these are the servants of the wedding. And she looks over at the servants, and this is what she says, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Man, that's good advice. We could stop right there and just give an invitation. I mean, that's good preaching right there, Mary. "Whatsoever he saith, do it." Because she knows her son's fixing to do something. Verse number 6, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now, does anybody know what these water pots were used for? These washing is correct. There was washing people's hands and washing their feet. Amen. They were purifying them. These were the purifying pots. These were the good water. They were washed their hands off and washed their feet off in this water. It's getting funnier here in a minute. Just hold on. "And Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up. And he said to them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it." You know what they did? They did what was told of them too. I like that. They did what they were told. The governor, this is the title, he's not the servant. He's one of the overseers of everything, the entertainment, the food, the guests. And he's chosen by the bridegroom to ensure that things were done in order of the wedding. That's what this governor was. And it says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Right. Some people are already catching it. So what, you got these water pots that people are washing their hands and their feet in. And it says there, and then Jesus says, you know what, take that over to the governor. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, which was made wine, and knew that not whence it was, and then it says right there in parentheses, but the servants which drew the water knew it. Right? So you know when you were kids and you maybe did something, you know, that you weren't supposed to, you picked something out your nose and fed it to your brother or your sister, you know what I mean, and said, ha-ha, you know what I mean? But my wife, on the other hand, she's got this, no, it's good, trust me, it's not a bit. She had this story, her and her older sister, Heidi, which you guys know, they picked on their middle sister, Sarah. And my wife grew up on a dairy farm, right? So when you grew up on a dairy farm, I mean, they would go out there in the part, I don't know what you call it, the milk house, what's called the milk house, and they would scrape off the cream off the top and get the milk right out of there. Well, my wife was sitting there one time and she was eating her cereal, and when you're milking the cows, occasionally a hair's going to get in there. And my wife's eating her cereal and notice there's a cow hair in there. So she looks over at her sister and goes, you want the rest of my cereal? And her sister goes, sure, what's wrong with it? She goes, nothing. So her sister's eating her cereal, and after a while, ha-ha, there's a cow hair in it. You know, similar to this, Dad, I can just imagine these guys, like, I mean, they got these water pots that people have been washing their hands and their feet in there, and they're like, you want us to give it to the guy that's in charge? Are you serious? Yeah, go give it to the governor. And they're standing over there looking, going, and he's like, this is the best stuff I ever had. And they're all, yeah. I don't know if that's all how it played out, but it's possible. Yeah. I remember this, we had this guy, Jose, we were a Mexican guy, obviously, right? And Jose, no brainer there, Mike. But he'd never had sushi before. So we went into this sushi restaurant, and you know, and me and Joe and Jose was sitting there, and we ordered all this sushi, and they pulled out, I mean, it was weird, they brought out an abnormal size of wasabi. And Jose goes, is that guacamole? And I couldn't resist, I go, it is. All right? And he sliced off a whole bunch of that, and I mean, it was like a icing on a cake on a piece of sushi, and stuck it in his mouth. He was coughing and, and we was laughing. We thought it was funny, but Jose didn't think it was too funny. But anyhow. Yeah, right. Yeah. But verse number 10. A lot of people, if I had $1,000 for every time somebody said that this gave people an excuse to drink, Jesus turned the water into wine. How many people heard that? Let me tell you something. He didn't turn it into an alcoholic beverage. But somebody say amen right there. I'm going to, right here. Here it is. Verse number 10. And saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth what? Good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is what? Worse. But thou hast kept the what? Good wine until now. You're going to tell me Jesus turned purifying water, pure stuff that people were supposed to be purifying themselves, into some alcoholic beverage? You're wrong. He saved the good wine. Pure juice. And that which is worse, you know, I studied this out years ago when actually I had a, praise the Lord for Mike's med, when I had an alcohol problem. And I've justified this one before. But you know what? There's drink. There's wine, there's strong drink, there's fermented drink. And you know what? This is the good wine, the pure juice. Amen. Jesus is not going to condone sin like that. He's not going to turn into an alcoholic beverage. Look over at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Brother Mike turned there already today. Luke chapter number 8. This is right after one of my favorite passages, the maniac of Gadara. He gets healed. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 40. And they're coming back over there to Capernaum. He crossed back over because they didn't want Jesus over there in the Gadarenes. Verse number 40 says, "It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him." Amen. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying, but as he went to the people thronged him." Right? So you got this story of Jairus. He's a ruler. I mean, he's got this one and only daughter, and she's 12 years old. She's dying, and he's in this huge crowd of people that he just tried to press on to get to Jesus. And he finally gets to Jesus, and he talks to Jesus, and he says, "Jesus, would you come over to my house, and would you heal my daughter? She's going to die." And Jesus is like, yeah, I'll do that. And while this all happened, verse number 43, another person wants some help too. "And a woman having an issue," verse number 43, "of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came in behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched." Right? So she spent everything. I mean, as that saying, she didn't have two pennies to rub together. And she says, you know what? She had that faith that if I just touch him, and she pressed on through the crowd, and you know what? She gets healed. But in verse number 45, this is kind of, I always thought this verse was pretty funny. "And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" I mean, that's pretty funny. I mean, it's funny in a serious matter. And it's noted here in Luke that Peter's actually in here. Peter gets kind of thrown under the bus. Is probably the one who kind of finally said it to the Lord. Like, "Lord, you're asking who touched you, and all these people been bumping us the whole time. And who touched you? Everybody been touching you. What are you talking about, Jesus?" You know? I mean, praise the Lord for Peter's. Amen? Yeah. I mean, it's a silly question, but it's a good question. "And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately." You know, I like that, even in this huge crowd. And she's in this huge crowd. I mean, it says she thronged him. Jairus was thronged. It says the Lord was thronged. And then it says she couldn't be hid. Like, huh, how does that work? I imagine when Jesus, because can I just say you can't hide from the Lord? Yeah, right. Psalms 139, if you want to just read that, I'm not going to turn there. David lays it all out. You are not hiding from the Lord. In a whole bunch of verses. You can't hide here. You can't hide there. He'll find you here. He'll find you there. You go to a cave. You go to the mountaintop. You go to heaven. You go to hell. Lord knows where you're at. Yeah. And I imagine, I like this. This is just the Lord. The Lord's looking for you. Yeah. He says, you know what? I know somebody touched me. And she's trying to get her way through the crowd. And Lord's like, who touched me? And the disciples are still kind of like, what do you mean, who touched you, Lord? And she's like, man, I know she's over here. And he's just kind of going off this way. And they're kind of, I mean, everybody's kind of parting out of the way of Jesus. And all of a sudden, dunk, there she is. Looking for her. Ain't that like the Lord? Ain't that like the Lord? And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Man, he was looking for her. He's like, Adam, where art thou? It wasn't like that. But he's looking for her. And you know what she did? She confessed. She said, you know what? It was me. It was me. She came in trembling. Declared, you know, that was me. Lord, I just wanted to be healed of all the things that had been plagued for me for these last 12 years. And just by touching your garment, I was healed. And she confessed it was her. But you know what? And Christ comforts her. In verse number 48. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. But you know who wasn't? You know who probably didn't find this that funny? Who? Jairus. Jairus. That's right. So Jairus is sitting there and he's watching all this take place. And all he's thinking is, you know what? I got a daughter who's at home dying. I mean, how long is this going to take with this lady? I mean, how long are we going to be looking for this lady? I ain't got time for this. My daughter's dying. And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. I mean, while all this happened, a guy from Jairus' house finds Jairus in this crowd and tells him, you know what, don't trouble the master anymore. And when Jesus heard it, he answered, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. I'd like to say that I like that Jairus never left Jesus' side. I'd like to point out that Jesus was right there with Jairus. I think we heard about a little bit about drawing near there this morning. And the Bible says, he says, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. You know, that's a tough thing when somebody comes up and says that to you. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say that's not never happened to me where one of my kids was, somebody came up to me and died. And they just said, fear not, believe only, and they'll be all right. Man, that's a tough thing. It reminds me over there in Mark chapter 9. Let me turn right to it. Mark chapter 9, where you remember where the disciples couldn't cast the devils out of the one guy's son. And Jesus there, Mark chapter 9, we can turn there just for, if you want, Mark chapter 9 in verse number 20. I mean, the Lord's always just calm in certain situations, in these situations. What's interesting to see is when he's not. You better take note. Lord gets real angry with some religious and Pharisees and Sadducees. Amen. But you stay humble and you still want to be with the Lord like that, and he's going to be real graceful to you. That's it. Anyhow, I get off on that. Mark chapter number 9, it says, and they brought unto him, when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed in foaming. So here it is, this kid, he's possessed with all these devils. And they bring him right to the Lord, and they set him right in front of Jesus and his dad right there. And this is what's happening. He's falling on the ground. He's foaming all about himself, shaking all over the ground. And this is what Jesus says. And he asks his father, how long ago since he came unto him? Like, how long has he been like this? You know what I mean? Because the Lord's going to cast him out. But this guy's father, he says, of a child. And oftentimes they cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I mean, and then the Lord says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. I mean, that's tough. Jerry's in a tough place. He said, all you got to do is believe. And straightway the father of the Lord cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I think a lot of us are like that. You know? Just like Brother Mike was saying in the thing, because we forget. We forget about the past miracles that the Lord did in our lives. Maybe we take them for granted. I know I forgot. Luke chapter number 8, if you turn back there, Luke chapter number 8. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And she shall be made whole. Let me say this. Careful who you listen to. Verse number 49, you got somebody that there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Verse number 50, you see, you got Jesus saying, you know what? It's going to be all right, you believe. Sometimes discouragement comes from your own household. But if the Lord said it, whatsoever he doeth, whatsoever he saith, do it. You know what Mary said? Just believe. Then you'll know. Then you'll have more trust. And don't forget. Verse number 51. And when they came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. You know what's kind of neat in this? I didn't realize this until now. This is John. This is James, the brother of John. I think it says that over in Mark. So he's the one that wrote this gospel. He's the one that wrote the Gospel of John, the book of John. You know this miracle is not recorded in John, but it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But it's not recorded in John. So, I'm going to give John the benefit of the doubt and say he didn't forget. I would not falsely accuse Brother John of forgetting. Because he did say in his very last verse, and many other things did Jesus which are not written in these miracles. And I suppose if they were all written, the whole world couldn't contain the books. That's paraphrasing. Very last book, verse in the book of John. But I know when I read that, I know it's easy for me to forget some of the miracles that Jesus did in my life. Yeah. I think I need to go back to writing them down.
Yes.
We used to do that up here, but it's been a bit. It'd probably be a good thing to do that sometimes, because I know one thing, every time I've done it, every time I've written the miracles down that the Lord did in my life, every time I go back and I read through that, I'm like, man, I forgot I wrote that one down. Where the Lord answered my prayer right here. And I said, man, I forgot about that. And I wouldn't even remember it had I not written it down. A book of remembrance, just on how good the Lord's been to you. Verse number 52 and 53, and the Bible says, and all wept and bewailed her. And he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. I mean, you ever laugh in an inappropriate time? This just seems like one of those inappropriate laughing times. Like, man, now they're laughing at the Lord. I mean, I remember the one time I picked up Danny. I think I was picking Danny up. We'd come to church, weren't we? I think it was church. That's how wicked I am. Danny's in the cast, and he has to jump into the truck by holding on to things. And Danny jumped up in the truck, and he slipped. And he's got a big scab, and he ripped his scab off his knee, and it was bleeding everywhere. Well, I started laughing. I said, ooh, started laughing. I said, I bet that hurt. Danny wasn't laughing. So, it's always funny when it's happening to somebody else, you know what I mean? Unless it's you, you know what I mean? You know, the Bible does say, Ecclesiastes 7:3, the Bible says, sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. I read that verse once. I read that back when my boss David Schuler died. Some of you have known long enough. I used to be a foreman for a masonry outfit, and he died. And changed my life big time. I mean, but I went there. I remember praying because I know a bunch of people. I've been witnessing to a bunch of people there, and I took my Bible there, and I prayed, Lord, give me some verse to help somebody at this funeral. And he said, a good name is rather be chosen than fine riches, because Dave Schuler, he had a good name for masonry. But he, you know, sometimes you just, laughter is not what's needed. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Better just take it to heart. Verse number 54, and he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. I like how the Lord just puts them out. When you read this account in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 18, Jairus actually asks her, he says, if you come lay hands on my daughter, she'll be made whole again. And it's like to me that Jesus, he grabs her by the hand and says it. I thought that was kind of neat. I like that. Verse 55 and 56 just makes me smile. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway and commanded to give her meat. You know what? Lord just said, you know what? Give her something to eat. I think it's funny. I don't know why. That's just like the Lord. She's hungry. She needs something to eat. She's been through a lot. She needs some comfort food. Amen. Yeah. And forget it. Oh, it says in Mark. In Mark, it says, this is what it says. They were astonished with a great astonishment. I don't know what that means. It means they was really astonished, I guess. But I'll tell you what, it's a happy ending. Amen. Look at John chapter 4. A lot of you probably know where I'm going with this one. This one's funny. I think this kind of piggybacks right along with what Brother Mike was teaching this morning. John chapter 4, and we'll just finish up here. Book of John. Chapter number 4, verse number 1. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, in parentheses it says, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. So Jesus did baptize, he only baptized his disciples. He left Judea and departed into Galilee, again into Galilee. And we know what's neat about that is if you back up there to chapter number 3, it gives you the whole detailed account. So these Jews and these Pharisees come up to John about their purification and why they're baptizing. And there's this little, I imagine there's like this little contention amongst religious people. Remember how we talked, Jesus draws near when you're communed together in reason. Am I making sense? But now we got this contention. Oh, they baptized more than this guy, and he baptized more than him. They're a disciple over there, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul. And Jesus goes, I must needs go through Samaria. Read it. I mean, I'm... Verse number 4, he says, and I must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground of Jacob, gave to his son Joseph. I'm just going to say, and by the way, he goes looking for this lady who doesn't have the best reputation. That's where he's going. Jesus knows that's where he's going. And he's going to make a point to these people. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but When people start having contention, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this, and Jesus goes, you know what, I'm going to go over to that. Amen. And watch what she's going to do. Watch what she's going to start. Watch how I'm going to handle this. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus is wearied here. He's thirsty. And you know what? He knows this woman's going to be there. His whole goal is over just to get to this lady. Jesus says to her in verse number 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee the living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said, go call thy husband and come hither. All right, so Jesus goes on this verses 10 through 16, this everlasting, of this water, this water of everlasting life, right? I mean, are you saved today?
Amen.
You know what I mean? I don't have to, it's good to reflect back like when Brother Mike was preached on this morning, like look back at how far the Lord's brought you out of. Me and Danny do that regularly. Thank you, Jesus, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not a boastful thing. You know what I mean? But it's a loving thing. Thank you, Lord, for pulling me out the mire. You know, I have everlasting life now. I'm not thirsting for that. I've got it. I've received Christ as my Savior. That Spirit dwells in me. You know, I do crave more of it, that measure, you know what I mean? But praise the Lord for saving people. And in verse number 17 through 19, this is just this funny little interaction of how the Lord addresses sin. We can call it that, right? That's what he does. And it's weird how the Lord addresses it here and how he does it. And in verse number 16, Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered, said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and thou saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I mean, that's hilarious. You know what I mean? How did he address her sin? With some care, yeah, and with some care. Did he call her any filthy names? Was he charitable? Of course he was. Did he have some care? Did he have some compassion? Right. I like how that follows. The most popular verse in Scripture is what? John 3:16. This comes right after John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse number 17. For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, that condemnation comes on your behalf. That's your deal. That's because you didn't believe. That's because you chose not to receive this gift of eternal life, that just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You rejected that. That's your condemnation. Does Jesus condemn this lady? No. But he did bring up her sin. In a caring way. And the Bible says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm telling you, it works. I can't tell you why I know that. I'm a sinner that got saved by grace. I'm still not perfect. Amen. When Christ comes back and I get out of here, I'm going to have that body. But my flesh didn't get saved. Just wait when I'm in rush hour traffic. I'm the best driver. Everybody else is dumb. You know what I mean? I know I'm not the only one here. And people look over, well, that guy ain't saved. You can tell him. Oh, he's one of them. Lord, forgive me. And then I got to get up and preach. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord's graceful. And the Lord's merciful. And the Lord's compassionate. And the Lord's caring. And the Lord's not condemning. The Lord's not cruel. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says charity never faileth. You know what that means? It means charity never faileth. Light bulb. Verses number 20 for 25 says, our father worshipped in mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem, in this place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, I think sometimes our little Baptist circles forget that. We got a lot of truth. But sometimes I can see a lot of services lacking spirit. Amen. Amen. I heard Brother Jason Murphy. I'm going to quote Jason Murphy. He said this. He said, just because you're doctrinally correct does not make you spiritual. Amen. Thank you for that. I'm going to say it again. Just because you're doctrinally correct doesn't make you spiritual. Because you know what the Bible says? The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. And once you get puffed up on how smart you are and how much you think you know, and I've rightly divided this and I've rightly divided that, I've rightly divided God out of the Scriptures, I know everything, I don't even need God anymore. And now you got pride. But then the Lord's going to go over here and use this other little guy that just don't know nothing. Or some little kid come up here and sing a special, and he's got the touch of God on him more than the preacher does. Amen. Careful with that. You say, well, what's that mean, worshiping the Spirit? I don't even know what that all means. Worshiping with everything you got. Worshiping when you got saved and that Holy Ghost dwells inside you. Worshiping with that and made that thing grow. Think on Him all through heart, soul, mind, and all thy strength. To lift Him up, He must increase. I must decrease. Other people know it before you will. That woman saith to him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And the meanwhile, his disciples prayed to him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath many men brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say ye not that yet there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. We've heard these verses. I mean, these are missionary verses we went through last week. Can I say they're not just missionary verses? Can I say that? These aren't just Bible verses for missionaries. They're verses for us too. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one that soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap therein where ye bestowed no labor, and other men labored, and ye have entered into their labors. I'd like to say, you know what, she knows a lot about the Lord. Maybe she came to that, well, we don't even know what this lady was going through when she came to the well. She came there thirsting for the things of God and met him. And God met her there. And there's people out there all throughout this world right now. I mean, people getting saved left and right. So I think there's a little revival going on there. You'd be amazed how many people here, this person trusted Christ their Savior, that person trusted Christ their Savior. Would to God that God's people would get on fire and start telling more people about the Lord in the church house. You know, that's the Lord's will. The Lord willed that none should perish. The Lord's got a concern for souls. The Lord's got a concern even for those marriages. The Lord's got a concern for Jairus. The Lord's got a concern for the women with the blood issue. The Lord's got a concern for the lady at the well. You know what? The Lord, even though the Jews don't like the Samaritans, you know what? The Lord's got a concern for the Samaritans. The Lord's got a concern for souls. So as we have this time invitation, we're just going to close. What about you? Has there ever been a time where you've called upon the name of the Lord to receive Christ as your Savior? Have you ever believed on Him? Man, it's a love story. That God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this? Hey, amen, that's a good song, man. I didn't think it was possible with me. I'm not going to go into my life. All I can tell is as my witness, and the Lord saved me and changed my life. Never in a million years did I think I'd ever be up here talking about the grace and goodness of God. But he didn't condemn that woman. You know what? He told her how to get saved. The only condemnation there is if you out there, if you've never called on the Lord to receive Him personally, if you don't have that Spirit of God dwelling in you, what about you, believer? How's your worship? Are you worshiping Spirit and truth? Come on, Brother Dale. Like what about Brother Mike said this morning? When's the last time you called out to him? When's the last time you remembered what the goodness he did for you? You know, when's the last time you told somebody about the Lord? You know what? It's a good time of year for that. It's not a time for Santa. But a lot of people are going to see nativity scenes. A lot of time people are gathering. Good time to spread the gospel. Can I say you never know who sowed what before you? Everybody's sowing. Some people are going to reap. You might be that one final person to hand them that track where they're going to get that truth and get saved. That's what I got saved by, was a gospel track at a gas station. You say it doesn't make sense. I know. It doesn't. So next time you go to a gas station, hand somebody a track. Tell somebody about the Lord. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There's a whole bunch of people out there looking for a light. Tell them about Jesus. Come see a man that told me everything. Come see a man that saved my soul from hell. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Father, I just pray today, Lord, if there's somebody here that's not saved, Lord, they'd come forward during the singing. Lord, I pray we'd make decisions, Lord. I pray we'd just go out there in this world and be the light that we're supposed to be. And Father, I just pray we take this seriously. In Jesus' name, amen.